church family, welcome to Church News. My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so glad that you've joined us today. Caleb, what do we got?
Small group signups open today. Here at On Glebe, we believe that small groups are one of the ways that you and I find freedom, and that's through meaningful relationship and spiritual growth. These small groups meet on Wednesday nights during service, so to see all the available groups and their descriptions and to sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen or head to the Church Center app. We can't wait to see what God does in this next semester of small groups.
Marriage is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us, but it also takes intentional time, care, and connection. That is why we are inviting you to love your marriage.
A free marriage event on Friday, February 20th from 6 to 9, so come join us.
Yes, we'd love to see you. There's going to be free childcare, there's going to be snacks and giveaways and time of connecting with your spouse. So we would love to see you there.
We are stepping into week 2 of 21 Days of Prayer, and what an incredible start it has been seeing our church family come together to seek the Lord first. We will continue meeting in the sanctuary on Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and on Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., and prayer on Wednesdays and Sundays will continue being during our service. As we press into week 2, let's continue staying faithful, keep showing up, and keeping our hearts open and expectant for all that the Lord wants to do.
Hey everybody, I'm here with a good new spotlight. We love to let you know about the great things that are happening at our church. Now, we're highlighting today's small groups, and the reason we're highlighting it, well, small group signups are happening right now. Head to Church Center, sign up there, or head out to the Welcome Center. They'd love to help you get signed up for your small group today. And we're highlighting simply a response, a testimony, if you will, to small groups last semester. We always do these surveys at the end of the semester. And on the survey, it was asked, what do you like about small groups? And here's the response. And this is a great way to describe what small groups are here at our church. They said they simply love the atmosphere. We felt welcomed each night, we felt heard, and we were able to talk. That's simple, but that's what small groups are all about. In the context of these kind of relationships, it helps us find freedom in our lives. So get signed up for a small group right now. It's for you. It's a wonderful thing that we're all about at our church.
Baptism is a meaningful next step for anyone who has chosen to follow Jesus. It's a public declaration of faith that represents leaving the old behind and stepping into the new life that Christ has given us. It's through baptism that we participate in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, celebrating the transformation that he gives. If you've said yes to following Jesus but haven't been baptized yet, we want to invite you to take that next step. We have an indoor heated baptism waiting for you to do so. To sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen or head out to the Welcome Center if you have any questions. We can't wait to take this next step with you.
And if you have questions about events, groups, or ways to get connected, you can head on right out to that Welcome Center in the lobby, and they will answer all of your questions. Now, let's prepare our hearts and our minds as we dive into God's Word today.
Hallelujah. As Pastor Kylan had mentioned, we do have our small group signed up starting today. Yeah, woohoo! Amen. Three or four of you are happy. They'll start on Wednesday nights, and within those small groups are freedom groups as well. So let's say that, you know, you're hooked on something or something's happened to you in the past. You need freedom from something. Those are also out there, and you can sign up for those. So when you're looking through all that stuff, look for the freedom groups as well. And we did something last year that we've never done before. After they went through those 12 weeks or 13 weeks or however long the freedom groups were, we had a freedom conference. And man, it was powerful. And so after these freedom groups that you go through, then we will also have a freedom conference as well. And so check those out. Make sure you read those thoroughly out there. Amen? All right. Well, today, my title of my message is called When We Pray. Somebody say, when we pray. When we pray, as you know, we are on our 21 days of prayer. We are on day 8 today. So we're not quite halfway through it yet. But it's okay. And you know, I sense and I feel a stirring. I feel the difference already because of this 21 days of prayer. And so today I thought, you know what, I really need to establish some things and just reinforce why we pray And so that's the title that came to me today. But anyhow, as you know, we just came out of Christmas. And if you're not a Christian, then you may know this, but you will know this. And that is Jesus was the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind. Ever given to mankind was Jesus. Hallelujah. And God didn't send us a rule book, although some people, the Bible, they think the Bible is only a rule book. And God did not send us a religion, but people can make the gospel into a religion. No, he sent his only son, Jesus, for you and me. And if you do not receive a gift, how many of you got a gift for Christmas that you still haven't opened? Exactly. Some of us open them before Christmas. But if you receive a gift and you don't open the gift, then you can't use it, and it means nothing or it benefits you in no way. And in John 1:12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them they gave the right to become children of God." They can receive the gift to those who believe in his name. They can use his name. They have all the benefits that the gift says that they can have and use. And Jesus died for the sins of the entire world. But only those who repent and receive him experience the benefits of what he has given you and me. I almost feel like I'm doing an altar call first. And if I am, and if you feel convicted, then come on down anytime you want. And we will pray with you this morning. Hallelujah. But did you know that prayer is also a gift? What? It really is? Boring to me. It's the most boring gift I've ever had. No, not when you use it properly. Prayer is a gift also given to us. Jesus is the gift that makes prayer possible, but prayer is the gift that lets us access what Jesus purchased for you and me. Because of Jesus, we have prayer. And we get to use it, and it's so powerful, and it should be so exciting, because in Matthew 26:51, it says, "Behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split." Why? Because Jesus died for you and me, and now we personally, according to Hebrews 4:16, because of that gift, we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. How many of you, if you were kids, all of a sudden there was a buffer between you and your parents growing up, and you couldn't ask them anything except to go through the buffer first? Wouldn't that be, "That's my daddy, that's my mommy. I'm sorry, you have to talk to me first." "Well, but that's my mom and dad." "I don't care, talk to me first. I'm the one that will decide." What? Man, that'd be annoying. But that's what happened for thousands of years in the Old Covenant. They could not go to God directly because of their sin. But thank God for the New Covenant. Thank God for the gift. Thank God for Jesus. And then the gift of prayer. We can come boldly before the throne of grace to him directly. Praise God. "Get out of my way, sucker. I'm coming to him directly. I'm going to mom and dad right now." Praise God. That's the gift. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that gift. So prayer is a gift given personally to you and me. We get it personally, but we also are doing the 21 days of prayer corporately for another reason. Corporately, as an assembly, as the body of Christ, for a different reason. Jesus didn't say that my house shall be a house of Hebrews coffee. Now, thank God for coffee if you drink the devil's brew. Now I know how many people drink the devil's brew. Now how many don't drink the devil's brew? I've never touched it. My lips have never seen it. I am not identified by coffee. It does not wake me up, and I have to drink it first before I can say hi to my spouse. Thank God for coffee, but it is not why we come to church. Jesus did not say that this would be a house of amazing music. Well, guess what? We love praise and worship. Thank God it helps us enter in, and God enter in, and us enter in. And it is for Jesus. It is for an audience of one, but it is not why we are here and is not the foundation of the church. And he didn't say, my house shall be a house of a great children's ministry. Although we love kids ministry and we put thousands of dollars in the kids ministry, but it is not the core. And also, on another note, he did not say that my house shall be a house of gossip. Or that my house shall be a house of offense. No, didn't say that. Matthew 21:13, and Jesus said to them, that's us, that's you and I, that's the church, it is written, my house shall be called a house of?
Prayer.
A house of?
Prayer.
A house of prayer. That's why we do the 21 days of prayer. Great music, awesome kids church and teen ministry, they're so great. Those are different programs that attract people and they are part of the church. But what is the engine of the church? It's prayer. That's the engine of the church. It's prayer. And we're not trying to build a church that impresses people, although we are trying to attract people. And God draws people to this lighthouse on I-75. And he's doing it even as we speak. But ultimately, we are building a house that hosts the presence of God. At least that's what we're trying to do. And that's what we are trying to do here. I'm just trying to strengthen the what or the why behind the what, as Nicole loves to say. Listen, prayer is what we do. And hosting the presence of God and having the power of what prayer does is why we do it. That's the why behind the what. So what happens when we use that gift of prayer? Well, how much time do you have? Put the crock pot on low because we're going to be here a long time. Because prayer does so many things. So many things. We don't see things that happen in prayer. We do see things that happen in prayer. Sometimes we don't understand the things that happen when we pray. And probably we will never understand ultimately everything that we pray for until we get to heaven and find out what really happened and the results of how and why we prayed. That's true. But before God can answer, before God can give us breakthroughs or miracles, we have to get rid of the monster elephant in the room here today. And that elephant is this, is when we pray, the body of Christ prays, you and I pray, God sometimes hears our prayers. What? Really? You think so, huh? Oh, he does. Okay. All right. See, most people believe in God. It's fantastic. But they don't believe that he is listening. Yeah. I think that's the devil's number one trick when it comes to prayer. Listen, he doesn't have to stop you from praying as long as he can convince you that it doesn't matter because God is not listening. True? Absolutely true. And it's no different than in our relationships. As I was sitting, I was thinking about this. Especially marriage. And here's why. If you're trying to get something across to your spouse, you're first going to talk to them. You're going to share your heart. You're going to ask them or tell them, honey, this is what's troubling me. I need to get this figured out. Why is this happening? Why is that? Blah, 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 blah. You will first talk to them, to your spouse. If they don't listen, then you will eventually come back and talk to them again about it. Listen, honey, you're probably busy. I know the job's rough right now. I know work is crazy. There's things happen. But listen, I really need you to pay attention and listen to me about this. Okay, I'm listening. Okay, fine. But if nothing changes after you repeat yourself, then something else happens. Frustration starts to build up. Hurt starts to take place in your life because you're tired of trying to talk to someone who isn't listening. And then, of course, last, you eventually stop talking because you feel there is no hope. He or she is not ever going to change. They're not going to listen to me. I am not important enough for them to hear me. That's what happens. Silence says that you don't care. It really does. And once you believe you don't care, then you stop trying. You stop trying. And I think sometimes we use prayer and God the same way. We pray, but then we think, you know what? I stopped praying because God is not going to answer. He's not going to respond. So I'm done praying. Listen, guys, don't believe that lie. God is not like your spouse, and he is not like your friends. And we don't need to treat him that way because he's not. 1 John 5:14-15 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." Some people think that, well, maybe he's just sick of hearing me because all I do is pray and pray and pray and pray and ask the same thing over and over and over and over again. But Psalms 116:1-2 says this, "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications." That's plural. "Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon his name as long as I live." Luke 11:9-10 says, "So I say to you, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened unto me." This tells me that God is not tired of hearing me pray. He invites them. He invites them. Look at Psalms 34:15. I changed this up, guys. Sorry, I did this morning. I hope I don't mess you up back there. Psalms 34:15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the who? The righteous, and his ears are open sometimes to their cry." There's no sometimes in there. His ears are open to our cry. You guys remember in Daniel, the 12th chapter, you guys remember that? Daniel, he had a problem. He was praying, the Bible said, for over 3 weeks. 3 weeks, and he heard nothing from God. Not a peep. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, nothing. Now, most of us would have stopped praying by then. Most of us would have said, well, I prayed, if it's his will, he will answer me. If he's not busy, he'll answer me. Right? That's what most of us say. No. But listen, in Daniel 10:12, the Bible says, "An angel said to him, 'Do not fear, Daniel.'" Came to him, tapped him on the shoulder as he's praying. Whoa. "Do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day," not the third, not the fifth, not the seventh, "but from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." Then in verse 13, it says, the angel says to Daniel, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there, with the kings of Persia." Well, thanks a lot, all you other hosts of angels, for leaving me there by myself. But see, Daniel got told by an angel that there was trouble in the spirit world. Well, he didn't know that from any other case, but you and I, as Christians, we have the word of God here, another gift given to us. And we already see in Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Listen, the devil is scared of our prayers being answered because answered prayer changes everything. And is it build our faith. So he does not want answered prayer in any situation. So be confident that every prayer you are praying during these 21 days of prayer or any time is heard from heaven. It's heard from heaven, whether you feel it or whether you don't feel it. And here's the thing about our feelings. We do not and are not moved by what we feel. We are moved by faith. We walk in faith and stand in faith and live by faith. And if he says that he hears, then praise God, I know my answer is coming and breakthrough is coming because you hear me every single time. Somebody say, when we pray, it happens. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the thing is this, the first time you cried for forgiveness, God heard you. The first time you prayed for your child, God heard that prayer. The first time you prayed for healing, guess what? He heard it. Victory comes through our confidence in knowing by faith our prayers are being answered and by having perseverance or persistence. In other words, never giving up. Never giving up. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. We never stop praying. We keep on praying. Guess what? We press in. We keep knocking. We keep believing. Prayer always sets something in motion. And again, we know and believe that breakthrough is coming. Amen. We have to be confident of that. People may tune you out. People may ignore you. People may walk away from you, but God never will. He never will. And as I said, there's so many things that happen when we pray. And man, there's a list. I mean, there's a list a mile long of things that happen when we pray. And so I'm praying. I'm like, God, okay, I don't know really what to bring out here. Should I bring this out or should I bring this out or should I do this? And none of these are in order, okay? But these are the three things that I just felt the Lord wanted me to say this morning. And the first one, that God hears us every single time when we pray. Amen. And the second thing is this. Is when we pray, prayer releases angels on our behalf. Prayer releases angels on our behalf. Man, that's so powerful. When a believer prays, heaven does not stay silent. It doesn't happen. God responds by moving heaven to work on earth, and angels are one of the ways that that happens. Hebrews 1, it is talking about Jesus, that Jesus is above all angels. He's above all angels. And in verse 14, what does it say? It says, are they angels? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? They're for us. They're for you and me. Hallelujah. And as we read earlier, Daniel's prayer caused angelic warfare. Now look what an angel did here in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. And then he killed James, man, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Verse 4, so when they arrested him, he, that's the king, put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him. And when I thought of that, I thought of something else. I don't know how many here follow the news or even turn it on, but if you've been following the Venezuelan things that have happened with that dictator Maduro, I didn't know a lot of these things. You know, in school, I didn't pay attention to much. You know, I didn't like school very much. I needed to get out of school. But, you know, I did not know how bad this dictator really was. So I just decided to look him up. Really, is he this bad? That dude killed thousands of people. Tortured thousands of people. If somebody stood against him, they just disappeared. He was so bad as a dictator that over 8 million people have fled Venezuela because of what he's done, because of starvation, because of all kinds of things. He lost an election in 2024 and decided not to go. You come against me, you die. And when the dude was captured, I watched when he came off the plane. He's just in one little set of handcuffs. And he's got like 5 guys around him. And that's it. This is a drug lord man who was a nasty man. And there's just like 5 guys around him. And then they walk him into a building, and then I only see 4 guys. And he's, Happy New Year, Happy New Year, Happy New Year. What, man, what a weirdo, you know, in America. So I look at that, I'm thinking, man, this guy was unreal. But then, you look at Peter here. Peter was so dangerous, that the king put 4 squads around him at all times. That's 16 soldiers that was around Peter because he was so dangerous. And not just that, but then he had a soldier on this side strapped to him with a chain, and a soldier on this side strapped to a chain. There was more guards up in front, and then there was more guards on a tower as they put him in prison. And he's there with all these people and with guards strapped and chained to him because he was so dangerous. Wow. Peter, who was telling people that Jesus loves them, had 24 soldiers wrapped around him at all times. Does that tell you that preaching the gospel scares the devil to death? Hallelujah, it does. Man, and then look at verse 5. It says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by who? By us. By the church. Praise the Lord. That means the church was in corporate prayer. That means we were all together in one, praying for one person, Peter. Amen. In unity. And it says verse 10 or 6. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with 2 chains between 2 soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then an angel said to him, Gird yourself and tie on your sandals. So he did. And he said to him, Put on your garments and follow me. And verse 9, so he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And then when they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gates that led to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Woo, man, that's powerful. Powerful. While Peter was sleeping, the church was praying. And then an angel showed up. And then chains fell off. And then gates opened up on their own, and Peter escapes death. All because of corporate prayer from the church. An angel was sent. Praise the Lord. But prayer isn't important. Prayer doesn't do anything. Hallelujah. And there's so many more instances where angels help people who prayed. We look again at Daniel, where an angel shut the mouths of the lions in Babylon. Daniel 6:22, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me because I was found what? Innocent before him. Before who? God. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now, listen, you know, these guys out here in the street would say, whatever. Yeah, he did something against the king. He did what the king told him not to do. He prayed to his God, and the king said, pray to me. So he did something wrong to the king. Oh, I'm so sorry. But no, it's not what God said. You know what? Yes, we can obey the laws of the land, but when it goes against the laws of God, no. No, morality overrules the laws of the land. What God says goes. I don't care if abortion is illegal, it's still wrong. I don't care if drugs become illegal, it's still wrong. Hallelujah. Are y'all still here? Okay.
The threat was still there, but God protected him because he was innocent. He was innocent. He was unjustly accused. He trusted God and was faithful and had integrity. There was also a fourth man in the fire with your shack, my shack, and a bungalow. Sorry, children's church still in me, never leaves. Shadrach, Meshach, and a bungalow. And a bungalow. I still said a bungalow. Woo! Okay, we'll leave that one alone. An angel helped Hagar and her son in Genesis, the 21st chapter. An angel corrected the children of Israel for not obeying God in Judges, the 2nd chapter. An angel stopped a plague after David prayed in 1 Chronicles, the 21st chapter. An angel helped Cornelius after he prayed in Acts 10. Listen, there are mentioned in the Bible nearly 300 times across the Old and New Testament where interactions with humans range from, you know, physical protection, healing, food, delivering vital messages from God, all from angels because people pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So I guess my question to you is this. How many of you guys have ever seen an angel? Raise your hand if you've ever seen an angel. Wow, man, that's awesome. Anybody else seen an angel? Okay, that's powerful. I've only seen one angel in my lifetime. And when I saw her, I married her. I did. You knew that was coming? You know me. You know me. 34 years, you better know me. Now, I wish I had seen more, and I'm thanking God that I see angels every day. I want to see an angel. I really do. Our daughter woke us up one night, and she was young. I don't know, maybe 12, 13, 14, something like that. And she said when she woke up, there was an angel standing in her door, in her doorway. And the angel was taller than the whole door frame and door and everything. And she said he had something that he was getting ready to blow, but he wasn't blowing it yet. And she said out loud, "What do you want?" And the angel said, didn't say anything at first, just stood there and finally said, "Tell them I'm coming soon." Again, getting ready to blow that horn. "Tell them I'm coming soon." Man, that was powerful. You know, they say a lot of people that pray, different things, they say there's a portal up here on this side somewhere. And that they see angels coming out into the sanctuary here different times. Nicole said she saw two today. They were taller than the church? Like, yeah, they were just scrunched down, ready to do something for you today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We used to have movie nights here at the church, if you remember those way back, on Friday nights. We had movie night. Matter of fact, we're having another one. We're going to start movie nights again on Friday night starting in March. You can check at the Welcome Center to find out when and everything else and what movie we're watching. I don't know. It's maybe like, you know, I don't know what we're watching. But anyhow. Well, one night, Quentin's friend, my youngest son, brought his buddy here to church with him for a movie night from school. His name was Malachi. And Malachi, if you're watching, you remember this story. But I'm sitting in my office. And all of a sudden, Malachi comes running through the office door. "Mr. Waters, Mr. Waters, Mr. Waters." I'm like, "Yes, Malachi, what?" He said, "Come here quick, quick, quick." I'm like, "What?" He said, "There's somebody out here." "Somebody out here? Okay, well, it's movie night, whatever." So I walk out of the doors from the offices, which is right there. And he points to these two double doors right here on the stage. And he said, "Somebody went in there." And I said, "Somebody went in there?" I said, "Okay." So I went, it's pitch dark in here. I looked and I said, "Hello? Malachi, there's nobody in here." He said, "Mr. Waters, I'm telling you, he went in. I said hello to him." I said, "You did?" He said, "But he didn't say anything back to me." I said, "Nah, that's strange." And then he said, "And he didn't open the door." Bam, it hit me. I said, "Say that again?" "Yes, he walked through the doors. He didn't open the door." I said, "What was he wearing, Malachi?" "All white." And he said, "And he had no shoes and socks on." I said, "Malachi, do you understand that you just saw an angel?" And I said, "Malachi, I hate your guts." I didn't say that. I was mad, though. I was mad. I didn't say that to Malachi. The dude's 13, 12, and he sees an angel. I ain't seen one yet. And he didn't even want to see one. I was happy that the angel didn't speak to him, though. I was happy about that part. He said he just looked. I said, "Hi." And he didn't even look at him. He just whoop. Through the doors and came into the sanctuary. Man, that's powerful. Hallelujah. Angels all around us. Praise God.
But now I do want to mention Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 43, because it leads me to my next 2 points. Time is running out. It says, Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and finally said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. First point is this. Notice the angel did not remove the suffering that Jesus was going through. He strengthened him through it. Sometimes our suffering doesn't go away, but we're strengthened through it. God helps us get through that. And the second point of prayer is in Matthew, the 26th chapter, verse 40 and 41. It says, "Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter," what? "Could you not watch with me for 1 hour?" So that means Jesus was away praying for at least an hour. Comes back and he finds these guys sleeping. He says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Notice what Jesus didn't say. "Hey, Peter, try harder next time, bro. All right? Just try a little harder." No, no, no. He said, "Watch and pray." Watch and pray. Prayer doesn't remove temptations. I think it can. Anything can happen, okay? And it probably has happened when we pray. Bam, temptation leaves instantly. But a lot of times, temptation doesn't leave, but it loses its power when we pray. To watch means to stay awake, to be alert and be aware. He's telling them to spiritually recognize the moment that you are in. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And when we pray, it's preparation for temptation. Just like the angel didn't take away the suffering Jesus was going through, temptation is still going to come, but watching and praying sharpens our spiritual awareness. Our spiritual awareness. You will be much more aware of early warning signs of temptation as you're praying. And prayer will help you deal with the patterns that lead you to give in to that temptation. It does. Don't get me wrong, temptation will come, and you may still feel the desire, still feel the need, still feel the want to give in to the temptation. But through prayer, the desire will not rule over you. You will rule over it. You will have dominion over it through prayer. You will bring it to God quickly. You will have strength to say, "No, get thee behind me. Get out of my mind in Jesus' name." You know, those things will happen. Jesus felt that desire to avoid what he knew he had to do. Really? Oh, really? Yeah, because of what he first said when he started praying. "God, if there be a way, if we've forgot something, if there's a way that this cup can get away from me and be put somewhere else, please let it happen." That's when he first started praying. But then, I don't know how many hours he prayed. Because remember, he had prayed at least an hour, came back, "Yo, boys, do this, watch and pray." Then he went away again, prayed some more, came back there sleeping again. He could have prayed 2, 3, 4 hours. But at the end of his prayer, what did he say at the end of his prayer? At the beginning of his prayer, he said, "Please let this cup." But at the end of the prayer, he said what? He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." He wanted to avoid it in the beginning. The temptation to run was there. But through continued prayer, he finally said, nope, God, hallelujah, it is your will. Let it be done. I will do what I need to do. Praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. Jesus won victories not just because he was the Son of God. Jesus cast out devils not just because he had the power to do so. Jesus went to the cross not just because that was his mission, and Jesus fell into no temptation, not just because he knew the consequences of temptation. No, prayer played a huge, vital role in the success of his victories and what he did for you and me at the cross. Somebody say, when we pray. Absolutely, when we pray. So much so that the disciples looked at him one day and said, "Teach us to pray."
They watched what he did. They watched where he went. They watched when he was gone all night, come back, seen victory, seen miracles, seen signs and wonders. God, teach us to do what you're doing, Jesus. Teach us to pray. If he wasn't a prayer warrior, they would have said, teach us to cast out devils, or teach us to roll over the tables, or teach us to do this. No, he said, teach us to pray. So he must have been doing it a lot. Yeah. And remember this about temptation. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Prayer dismantles the lie that says this temptation is too strong for me. Through prayer. So when we pray, God hears our prayers. When we pray, the heavens go to work for us and angels are dispatched on our behalf. And when we pray, temptation loses its power over us. Therefore, sin loses its power over us. Hallelujah. And when we pray, God brings protection. Prayer pushes back the enemy. When we pray, transformation happens in us. And when we pray corporately, woo! Look what happened in the Bible, and look what happens today when we pray corporately. Wow. That's why we're doing what we're doing in this 21 days of prayer. Ultimately, though, prayer changes us. It changes you, and it changes me. Oh, boy, do I have time for this? I'm already a minute over. Go ahead. I love it. Love it. You know, we purchased a house in I purchased a house in Lima, Ohio. Some of you know the story. Super real quick. And then we lived in a house that I had just built. We lived in it 5 months. And I bought this house at a sheriff's sale in Lima. I liked it. I was going to make some money on it. As I've said in the past, Nicole came up. It was a big mistake. She liked it, wanted to move into it. Didn't like the house that I built. You know, long story. Whatever. Okay. It wasn't frilly enough. I don't know. But anyhow. So we had two house payments. It was over $3,700 a month. Whew, hallelujah. That's somebody's rent sometime now, these days. So we were running out of money fast. She was telling me, honey, I think you're going to have to go, you know, and rob a bank or something and stuff. And I'm like, honey, you know, that's just a little too far right now. We'll go rob your parents' house instead. So somehow her dad got wind that we were in trouble and said, what can I do? And, you know, ultimately we said, we need our house in Anna to sell. That's what we need. And he said, okay. So he was such an amazing guy. He spent 3 days and three nights in that house, fasted and prayed. We had not had one looker or one offer in 1 year on that amazing, beautiful, awesome house that I built. After Pastor was done praying, my father-in-law, Nicole's dad, was praying. 1 week later, a family in Chicago bought it instantly. It was done. Because of prayer and fasting. Yes, yes. God answers prayer. He answers our fasting. I was going to go through the whole story of Esther and what happened with them, but I won't do that because of time. But I will say this. I was praying Wednesday night we was in prayer here, or Tuesday night, or Thursday night. I don't know. It all runs together when you're praying 21 days. And I'm standing over here, and I'm watching everybody pray in here, and I'm praying for the people that are praying. And I hear the Lord tell me, I want you to fast 1 day a week for all of you. And I'm like, okay, all right. And he said, I want you to fast and pray 1 day a week for their healing, for the miracles, for their needs, for things that the sheep need and what they're going through. And then I said, okay. He didn't tell me a day. He just said, I want you to do that. But then I also heard him say, she's praying also 24 hours. And I said, no problem. I'll let her know that. I'm sure she already knows already. And immediately thoughts came to my mind of what Pastor Dosek used to do for you. You would call him up, you know, Pastor, listen, I got cancer. You know what, I'm going to pray with you for a week. I'm going to fast and pray for you for a week. He would do that kind of stuff all the time. I've seen it all the time, all the time. And then people would come back. Hey, Pastor, thank you for your prayers. God heard. I'm healed. This happened. I got my house. I got my job. I got my car. All kinds of things happened.
And that hit me. I just became overwhelmed. Because as a shepherd, that's what we're supposed to do. And God said, I want you to pray and fast one day a week. And he said, he gave me a word. It was like for infinity. In other words, it's not going to stop. It's not for a week, God, no problem. For 3 days, Lord, yes, I got you. I got the sheep. No, indefinitely. It's going to become a lifestyle. Because God cares for you, and he knows what prayer and fasting does. It changes things. It moves heaven for you and me. Stand up in the house today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, prayer is not an option for the believer. It's not an option for you and I who are saved, sanctified, who love Jesus, who are born again. There should be nothing in your vocabulary that says, I'm not the praying type. How can a Christian say that when it's the engine of your relationship with him? If you don't talk to him, how are you having a relationship with him? How are you going to hear anything from him? If you don't talk to your kids, if you don't talk to your parents, there's no relationship. Prayer is the engine to our Christian life. Write this down, Gerald. I'm sorry, you have to write it down because John's not here today. I put it up here on the screen. In order to stay powerless, all you have to be is prayerless. Simple. You may be able to remember that, Gerald. And give that to John too, by the way. In order to be powerless, all you have to be is prayerless. Anybody can do that. Anybody can have unanswered prayer that way. Most of the church wants to leave prayer to the intercessory prayer group, the prayer team, to grandma, or to the pastors. But what I find is interesting is anytime those prayerless people need something, where do they run first? To the people that pray, because they know those people make a difference because of their prayer life. We want all of you to tap into the riches of what prayer can do for you, the things you need, the things you want, and others that you pray for. But if you don't pray, you will never step into all that God has for you. Not because God doesn't love you or doesn't have a plan for you or that you're not cold or have a purpose, but because you don't understand the role that prayer plays in your life. You have to understand that, your calling, your destiny. When I first started going to Africa, I didn't pray that much. You know, I was more scared than anything. But as I started to pray more, as I started to fast with a group of guys as we go, we pray for 3 or 4 days before we go, man, things started to happen. Devils started to act up when we showed up, eh, Brother Rick? Because they scared to death. Not of us, but what's inside of us. And I started to see, I'm not saying better miracles. Listen, if a fingernail stops hurting, that's a miracle. You know, but I started seeing more things happen in the spirit because I started to pray and fast more. Okay. The question is, who's going to pay the price to set time away to pray for what needs done in your life? What needs done in your spouse's life? In your kid's life? I found it interesting that Nicole's already praying for Lacey's husband. She's one. I'm not letting her get married to nobody. You know? I mean, we pray. Hallelujah, we pray. Who's gonna pray for healing that you need in your body, your mind, your family, salvation, what God wants to do for this church, this house? Who's gonna pray for the finances that we need to continue to win souls, millions of them around the world? Eric is gone still today. Two more areas. We're getting souls saved. So I want you to repeat this after me here in closing. Prayer team, come on up. Come on up. If you want to pray this, you can. Or repeat this. It's kind of like a prayer. If you don't want to, don't. But I want you to repeat this after me, and I want you to mean this and start this. Just say after me, Lord, give me the desire to pray. Give me the words to pray. Lord, remind me to pray. Give me the strength to continue to pray. Give me the faith to continue to pray. And help me focus when I pray. In Jesus' name,